Good afternoon, everybody. We're here with Below the Radar News, and today we're interviewing Phyllis Rector of the Interface Financial Group. Phyllis, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm terrific. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad, thanks. I appreciate your joining us today and taking some time out to tell us a little bit about yourself and about your IFG franchise, and maybe in hopes of some other folks that are out there thinking about getting into the franchise business and particularly IFG, what it's like and what the process is, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Does that sound good with you?
Sounds fine.
Awesome. So Phyllis, tell me a little bit about yourself. How old are you? Are you married? Do you have kids?
Okay, so first of all, I'm over 60. I am married, and my husband has a good job, and we have three children. All are what we call off the family payroll, so they're not living at home. In fact, they don't even live in Phoenix.
Oh, really?
We've been here, we've been in Phoenix for almost 25 years. My background is in finance, but the kind of finance I was doing really doesn't have a lot to do with being an IFG franchisee. I used to trade bonds for both broker-dealers and for banks. I have an MBA in finance, class of 1999, so you'll notice there's a big gap between my undergraduate and my graduate studies. And basically what they were teaching in an MBA program in terms of finance was optimal capital structure, i.e. how much debt versus how much equity, whereas small businesses really are more focused on or only focused on sales and making payroll.
Right, right. How long have you been in Phoenix, or excuse me, where are you originally from, and how long have you been with IFG?
So I grew up in the Boston area, went to school actually in Boston. Frankly, I went to school at a private school about three blocks from where the explosions were yesterday. The good news is that's a holiday, so I suspect that the students weren't in school.
Right.
And I went to college at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. My background actually... I ended up in finance kind of by mistake. My background is actually as a Russian history major, so I speak Russian, or I used to speak Russian. Spent some time in the Soviet Union when it was the Soviet Union back in the 70s. Met my husband there. He's American, as you can tell with the name Rector. But he was also he was a Russian language student, but in any case. And I've owned this IFG franchise since 2007, so I'm coming up on the end, almost 6 years.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
So you mentioned that you were a bond trader previously. What would you say was the defining moment that made you realize, or what was it, what were the circumstances that made you realize you needed or wanted to make a switch into a new realm of business?
Well, so basically it's a little bit of a long story, as I'm sure most other people will have a little bit of a long story to
sure.
describe what happened. Is I graduated with my MBA in finance in 1999, basically in terms of, and thought I would like to go on what's called the buy side for picking stocks for, say, mutual funds. Well,
okay.
Phoenix is not a capital markets center. And for me to get a job, I was basically starting all over again. In 1999, my three kids two of them were at home. The oldest was just barely starting college. My husband was doing real well. He's in the tech field, and 1999 was a good time for the tech industry. And so I decided to take advantage of the luxury of not having to go back to work. When the last child went off to college in 2006, it was kind of like, you know, I'm done with this volunteering. I'm good at it. I'm good at raising money, but it's not putting any money in my pocket.
Sure.
We still had two of the three kids on the family payroll, so we needed to put a little bit of money into the retirement fund. And I looked around and said, you know, I could start all over again, but you know, having taken seven years off, I would be starting again at even a lower level than I would have in 1999. So I basically looked around and said, if I'm going to start all over again at the bottom, I want something with some good upside. So I started exploring, you know, businesses. So I looked into, you know, this whole buying and selling real estate. My issue there was they could all tell me that you had to buy it right. And it seemed to me, having realized with being in the bond trading business, you don't make any money until you sell them, that really wasn't, you know, the timing was bad. Thank goodness I didn't do it. And so I frankly fell into the IFG franchise. A colleague of my husband's had spent a year working with a franchise consultant, and he had decided on it. He had, and my husband were talking, and he said, Phyllis should look into this. So I did, and I looked into some other franchises at the same point. I did go to a franchise consultant, and I did some of the kind of personality testing kind of things, which really only confirmed what I thought I knew about myself. So
sure.
I looked at basically, you know, said you can you can analyze these things to death, but you can only tell whether it's right by doing it. So
right.
I bought the franchise in May of 2007.
All right. Did you find
it? So there's a long answer to a short question.
Well, that's such is life. Did you find the franchise consultant to be a helpful process?
I would have to say that for probably yes, it was helpful. I didn't pay any money. I only did the stuff that you could do for free.
Right.
That they were willing to do on the come because they wanted me to be a client. And I think most of them anyway get paid by the franchisor, not by the,
correct,
by the individual. But in any case, it was helpful only in terms of learning very quickly what other franchises were out there that might be of interest to me. And
sure.
And they're and so from that standpoint and from the personality testing, yes, I found it useful.
Right.
I think in most cases it probably is useful for people to, you know, go through that analysis and kind of find out what other things are out there because we all live in our own spheres.
Right. So pardon me for a second. I just wanted to make a piece of clarification. So you were a bond trader previous to getting your MBA. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and then so was it a part of your was it like a requirement to move up into the field of bond trading that you decided to go for your MBA, or was it just a personal decision?
I had started doing in the bond business back in the late 70s, and I just basically worked my way up through the, you know, trial and error doing it. I was laid off when Wells Fargo bought First Interstate. I was with First Interstate Bank here, and they gave me a nice severance package. And I'd always sort of wanted to have the educational background to what I was doing. And as I said, I did want to get on to the buy side of the business. There are a few mutual funds that are run here in Phoenix. But it was because mostly out of curiosity, and since the kids were in school and I had a little flexibility, and I was in state tuition, I went and did it.
Awesome, that's great. I hope to one day do the same.
It's everybody else was younger.
Yeah, I bet. So moving along, you talk with a franchise consultant, you analyze your situation, your personality, your likes and dislikes. What was it about IFG that made you gravitate towards that business?
Two things. One, probably three. The first is it's a business model where you don't have to have any employees, and I didn't want to deal with employees. I work out of my home, so I don't. As in getting started, I don't have any real overhead to deal with, because in any business you got to figure that it's going to take time to generate revenues. So I didn't want to have to bite off a big chunk in overhead, and I didn't want to have to deal with not only overhead but other people's personalities as employees, and all the regulations that go with it. And then the third thing was is that I had been trading stocks in our own portfolio for quite some time, and frankly decided that my personality wasn't suited to it. I didn't like sitting in front of a computer. I get bored reading things and making those decisions. I also felt that by the mid-2000s, the stock market was quite a bit different than it was even in the mid to late 90s in terms of who's running the show and the variables out there to take into consideration. I felt the IFG model allowed me to get out and talk to people, and it also allowed me to control the risk rather than having somebody else control the risk. So,
very interesting. That makes a lot of sense. So, in terms of starting up, did you have to? How were you able to buy your franchise? Did you have to put anything on the line, or did you have money saved up? It sounds like maybe you did. Was that something a hurdle to overcome?
So we have a lot of equity in our house. We had a lot of equity in 2007, and we have even more. Actually, we have more in 2007 than we did probably in, than we do now. But in any case, I took out a home equity line, and and that financed the purchase of the franchise itself. And it gave me working capital. I mean, you have to have money to buy invoices.
Right.
So maybe people should understand what the IFG franchise is. We are a spot factoring company. We buy individual invoices on a use-it-as-you-need-it basis to speed up cash flow. So you have to have money to buy the franchise, and you have to have money to buy the invoices with, right?
Absolutely.
So I took out a home equity line, and that's how it's financed.
Okay. And if I have it correctly, the part of the kind of the startup costs, as you've already kind of explained, but part of the startup costs to the franchise are that you have that capital available to buy to purchase the invoices, correct?
Right. Yeah, I take calls from time to time from prospective franchisees. And, I took a call a couple of years ago with somebody who had, $50,000 or something. And after you've paid the franchise fee, you're going to have maybe, $10,000 or $15,000. Well, you're not going to make any money if you only have $10,000 or $15,000 to buy invoices. You're just
right.
not, I mean, don't bother.
Okay.
So,
save your pennies.
We were fortunate that we had equity in the house, and that's because that's because of the stock boom in the 2000s, frankly, or in the leading up to the 90s and leading up to 2000 and that bust. So
how was it for you making the transition? It sounds like it was you were itching and ready to go, but can you talk a little bit about making that transition from, as you say, maybe volunteering or having some extra time to going full force and making your business successful?
I think the hardest thing is to understand anybody starting a business is that if you have to work at it to make it happen. The only time the phone rings for people to get leads or something like this is if you've done the groundwork to make it happen. So every day you have to be disciplined to get up and do the things necessary with a long time lag of maybe seeing potential results. So even when I was volunteering, I was self-starting to make it happen, okay? I would be the leader in doing those things to get things started. I actually did, though, set up my office in the – we have a guest house so that I would have a place to, quote, go to work so that I wouldn't get waylaid by household things.
Short commute time, though.
Yeah, you have to be disciplined about getting it started. It did take me, now keep in mind that 2007 the economy was about to start contracting. We want to finance growing companies. In Phoenix, the economy is basically, you know, is really a lot of construction, not a lot of manufacturing, though we do have some aerospace. But in any case, that the prime market where Interface competes is against other factoring companies is that we will do construction transactions where virtually no one else will. So if the construction industry is contracting, 2007 to 2009, I basically was sowing seeds without getting any results. My business really only took off, I would say, probably in 2010, 2011.
Wow. So that's patience. It pays off, though.
Well, right. You have to persevere. I mean, I have also seen franchisees in this business who give up. I mean,
right.
You have to persevere. You have to get up every day and do it.
It goes back to that discipline and having that strong will.
I think so. I mean, as I say, you have to make it happen. You have to be out there talking to people. And I like getting out there and talking to people. So by and large, you know, it does fit my personality pretty well.
Great. So so it sounds like you weathered the initial storm. Previous to that, when you were starting up, what if any were some trepidations you may have had about taking on this venture?
I think the question is, I mean, Interface first of all has a very good system, due diligence system, to minimize the risk that you're taking. However, you are taking risk. So until you become a little bit confident in your ability to judge that risk, the concern is that you're not going to get your money back, that the guy's lying to you, and trust me, they do. I mean, not always, but, they
sure.
do.
Sure. There's a little bit of a leap of faith.
Yeah, and I think there was a fellow here in Phoenix who bought a franchise about a year and a half or 2 years after I'd been getting going, and basically, the kind of feeling was is that he was unable to pull the trigger. So maybe it's because I had the bond trading background where you have to make decisions, all day long and take risk that. Now then, it's with other people's money. It's with farmers.
Right.
But still, it part of it's from my perspective. Part of it's the money issue, but part of it's the I don't want to admit that I made a mistake, even if I'm working for somebody else.
Absolutely.
So
is there a certain person or situation that you can look back on, or someone that you look up to that may have inspired you to go out on your own and become an entrepreneur under the IFG franchise label?
Well, I guess probably the answer to that is my father was an entrepreneur. He had started a couple of businesses. My husband did go, he didn't start a business, but he went with a new business, which didn't work out. So, I mean, we've taken risks and have been around people who take risks. And I don't have all my eggs in one basket. So I guess that you'd say, I have a family background that
you've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it that way.
That there's something to that, absolutely. So where do you see your business and yourself in the next couple of years, say next 3 to 5 years? You have any big plans?
Well, last year, 2012, was outstanding. 2013 looks to be not, the first quarter, I don't know. if I could do the same as I did last year or maybe a little bit more for over the next 5 years, the goal that we had when I bought this really is to develop the business is essentially to develop equity in the business so that when I decide that I don't want to do it anymore, we wind it down, I'll have a chunk of retirement money,
sure.
Basically. So that's the goal. My goal really is probably to keep doing it for another 10 years or so, and hopefully at that point, have a chunk of change that, gradually let it pay off and
let it work for you.
Well, yeah, right.
So backing up a little bit to current times, what's happening in Phoenix in your area, in your business? Any big jobs you're working on? Any prospects that are looking promising? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as I said earlier, you sow seeds and you wait a long time for them to sprout, and it's quite interesting because my business has not developed really from calling on other factoring companies and telling them that we could potentially do the deals that they wouldn't look at because they don't do construction and they don't do just one transaction. I have spent a lot of time calling on bankers, and bankers have played musical chairs in Phoenix and in other places between 2007 and now. And I've tried to keep up with them, and it's kind of interesting because in the last 3 weeks I've had two leads from brokers who have been introduced to me by one of my bankers. And most recently, I'm trying to get a deal done that's a big cement and framing contractor. He does $300,000-$400,000 a month. That's a pretty big company.
Absolutely.
For the size of companies that we normally finance. And they're working on apartment building construction here in Phoenix. So it would be nice to do some larger deals with more stable companies. And so that's really the, that's the biggest, thing I'm kind of working on. But as my husband says, time kills all deals. I really like the guys who need to make payroll on Friday and they call me Tuesday because then they're motivated.
That's a wise man.
the ones that plan too far in advance, sometimes those don't work as well because they find other ways to finance their business.
Sure. So you mentioned that one of the bankers introduced you to a broker. What is the broker? What capacity is he or she in that was able to introduce you to this cement company?
Well, it's interesting because I've only talked to the broker on the phone. Having been introduced, I'm frankly waiting on him to call me back on following up on this lead. But there are people out there. They're brokers. They go out and find companies that need money, and then they try to place those companies with the appropriate financing source, whether it be a bank, factoring, equipment leasing, merchant cash advances. These are all things that I never even knew existed before I got into this business.
Nor did I.
So those people place these companies with the right source. So if the fact that I've been introduced to this broker potentially will bring me more
Utterly.
Business than just,
yeah.
Right. Well, you just want to keep expanding your circle of potential referral sources.
And it's not, like you say, it's getting out and meeting people and talking to people. Like this broker, you probably wouldn't be able to, open the Yellow Pages or, if the Yellow Pages is still around, but they wouldn't be filed under a broker for new business leads or something to that effect.
No, it's like, I talk to brokers. I have a few people here in town, and a lot of the times they're trolling, the companies that they're trolling for money for are just not, IFG is what I look at as kind of the bottom of the food chain, that is for financing business-to-business companies, okay, because we buy invoices, and invoices are defined as bills to other companies for work that or goods that have been delivered, and this is a very specific definition of it. Because Interface will do construction, we will do one-off deals, and our requirements in terms of the size of the companies are really sort of minimal. And so it's kind of like if we can't do it, nobody else can if they have invoices. So, but to have a broker who actually has a company that's, say, you know, $2 or $3 million, $4 million company is, you know, that's kind of exciting because he obviously is playing in a little bit of a different arena.
Yeah, that is. That does sound exciting. Well, I wish you the best. Well, lastly, so the fact that this, I'm just focusing on this one company, a cement company, but would you say that the construction industry is seeming to come back in the Phoenix area, and that's making things also look a little bit more promising?
Phoenix is bouncing back. So I said this is for multifamily construction, and there's a lot of activity in the Phoenix area of big out-of-state investors coming in and buying houses in the under $200,000 range. I'm financing a fellow who does the rehab work for one of those companies. He has a couple of companies that he's there is a fair amount of road building. I have a number of cement contractors, one of whom only works on government projects, and there's still a fair amount of government work being done. I think the economy back here is perking up. One of my cement guys just landed a big contract to do curbs and gutters on a single-family home subdivision. This means if he's doing curbs and gutters, it means the stuff that was prepped in 2007 that never was built on, inventory has gone because now they're starting to actually, you know, lay cable, build streets, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. That's great.
So,
well, that sounds very promising, and I think our time is actually almost up here, but I really appreciate, again, your time, and I think we've learned a lot about yourself and your great IFG business. Is there any parting words you'd like to share with us?
I don't think so. I think I covered it pretty well. I mean,
you did. You covered a lot.
Success comes to the prepared person and persistence. I think that's what you call.
Well, I think we all have a little bit to learn from you, and we'll be sure to take notes.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, Phyllis, you have a great day. We're here again with Below the Radar News, and we're talking with Phyllis Rector of IFG franchise in Phoenix. Thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to talking with you sometime soon.
Terrific. Thank you very much.